The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn, and we are ready to do another 5 for 15. We have our good friend David Whitley here with us. And obviously, everyone knows we don't give out a lot of information. We give our email addresses at the end. And today, we're going to talk about something that I guess you could interpret this word in so many different ways. I'm sure David's got his view of it. I've got mine, and I'm sure even if we're at a fork, we're going to meet in the middle here. David, welcome to 5 for 15, brother.
Thank you so much for having me on.
It's great to have you. I just want to say to everybody, too, and we usually don't do this, but I just talked to David about this. This is real important. We right now are 15 shows away from our 500th post, if you can believe that. And we're going to have, I'll give you the round table. Unless someone drops out, it's going to be myself, David, Bill Hinburn, and Adam T. Glass. So how's that for starting what we're going to talk about with the 500th show, et cetera, et cetera. So we got to move right into the show. That's not the idea of this. We're going to talk about wealth. David, wealth, how are you going to define this? How are we going to get our listeners to, whether it's practicing wealth of money, I'm not going to start my stuff until you go first, but why don't you explain to everybody a little bit how you interpret wealth in your life?
Well, gladly. The typical interpretation of wealth immediately calls to mind money. And material possessions and things and stuff and that sort of stuff. And that's definitely a part of it. But it goes beyond that and it includes that. Now, I am not saying that I think that it is the right way to think to say, well, I don't care about money as long as I just have enough to get by, because that's poverty, which is the opposite of wealth. And it's also showing me that somewhere in your thought process, you either don't believe it's available, or more importantly, you don't believe that you deserve to have an abundance. Because to me, the terms wealth and abundance and prosperity and even the word opulence all sort of are interchangeable and all mean the same sort of thing. And I think where we run into a lot of trouble as a society is that we're taught from a very young age that supply is limited somehow. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, like, if I come over to your house and you baked a pie and you cut the pie up into 8 equal pieces and you have 8 people there and we all get one piece of pie and someone else wanted another piece of pie, then that means that someone is going to have to give up a little bit of pie in order for someone else to have a little bit more pie. And that makes sense with pie, but the fact is, as far as any sort of abundance in the rest of our lives, speaking more esoterically now, supply is actually unlimited. And so what you would do in a case like that with the pie is you would just make another pie, or you'd make the pie bigger in the first place, right? But it's very, very common and very easy to slip into an attitude of scarcity, because we look at whatever's going on directly around us right now in the moment as far as our physical results of either how much money we have or how much happiness we have or whatever, the thing that we would want to have more of. And we can very easily just look at the results that we have right now and think that this is all there is, and we don't know where the rest of it's coming from, in particular with money. Because how often do we ask someone, or do you hear someone talking about something, and like the first question out of their mouth is, how much does it cost? I get this a lot with in-person training stuff, and also with like strongman shows. Very first thing, what are your rates?
Yep.
Well, the fact is, it doesn't even matter what my rates are, because you haven't made the decision whether or not you want to get the thing or to have the experience, right?
Yep.
If you decide ahead of time that it costs too much, then you didn't really want it in the first place. We've talked about this kind of thing before. It's like if someone near and dear to you was sick and you had said, okay, let's use a car, for example, because that's a fairly big ticket item. Let's say that you had a car that you really wanted, or you kind of thought you wanted, and you found out that it cost $30,000. Well, I don't have $30,000, so I can't afford the car. I'm not going to get the car. And then
right.
you turn around and someone who's very near and dear to you, if you don't come up with $30,000 right now, they've got some sort of a medical thing going on, and they're not going to make it past the end of the month. You've got a month to come up with $30,000. You'd find it. You'd figure out a way to do it, because that's what is important to you. And so wealth isn't about how much there is for supply, because the fact is everything that exists right now is just a form of matter and energy that has always been there since the beginning. Energy can't be created or destroyed. Matter can't be created or destroyed. It can only change form. And that means everything. So that includes anything that would go along with what would make me or you or anyone else feel the feelings of wealth and prosperity. Now, Bob Proctor wrote a book several years ago called You Were Born Rich, and it's all about this kind of stuff. And he's, I'm paraphrasing him, but it's close to a quote. He says, everybody was born rich, just some people are a little short of cash right now. They don't know how to attract it to them. And this idea is something that pervades every philosophy, every religion, everything that's good and wholesome in our existence has this principle floating around in it, that we will somehow, even if the way isn't apparent to us, we will somehow find the way to have what we need when we need it.
Oh, yeah. And you know something? You really got to open your life up to things like that. If your life is just full of, you know, like they used to say, garbage in, garbage out. If your head is just clouded constantly with things that just don't matter, this whole social society that really, to me, it's nothing more than a farce, man. Now, has it made our lives easier in business? Yeah, I mean, it's easy to connect with somebody quick. You can get it there and done. But I'm talking from a personal level. I'm talking from day to day, minute to minute, year to year, decade to decade. Here's the deal. If you want true wealth in your life, and I, like David here, you know, we're both entrepreneurs. I don't know what he wants as far as how much he wants to make. You know what, you know, he's interpreted to us to what his definition of wealth is. I'm going to go a little bit different probably with mine, a little bit. When you create, when you have a business you want to do, and he and I obviously are creators, we've got something that we think that much of that we want to bring to the whole world, mm-hmm. whether it's just the idea of the solution or the visual, or just the impact of how lucky we are. Now, I come from a background, as everybody knows, of a brother that died of muscular dystrophy, Jimmy. I understand that health to me is my wealth, all right? And I'm going to make this real clear, and I'll get right back to you, sir. I hear people say a lot of different things, you know, about their spouse, you know, most important, the kids are they're all very important. But let me ask you something, everybody out there. If you can't lift your damn leg up or get out of bed, I don't care how much you love your kids or your wife or your family or your dog or whatever you want to put in that category, what are you going to do at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Your health with me. This is me. And I've been called selfish many times, man. But if I don't have my health, I have nothing to offer. Now, look, and they'll say to me, well, you had a brother in a wheelchair. He was very smart. He could do. I understand all that. But health to me measures more than that. Health to me is complete from head to toe. And if I want to be the guy that's going to be there or do what he needs to do to advance what he wants to do to get where he wants to get, I have to have my health. So health to me is the most important thing when it comes to the word wealth or what we bring into our lives, okay? Secondly, the word wealth, you can interpret it, I guess, many ways. I just did with health. But wealth, too, is also monetarily. Because the problem we have in today's world, I think, people don't want to hear, you know, money's dirty, money's no good, anybody that makes a lot of money is no good, they're a thief, whatever. That's the furthest thing from the truth, because all we do is blanket the world with negativity. I know a lot of people that make a lot of money, they're stand-up men and women, and they would give you the shirt off their back. I will tell you this. And I've told David this offline. I've said this online. I'll say it again to you. Big changes are happening all the time here. And David and I have talked about this. You don't have to see something physically or hear it to think that something's not changing around you. We're energy. We're matter. Things are happening all the time. Things are happening all the time with the lifting, with the business. And the last 2 weeks, I've told everyone the strides we have made with not only Mark, who's doing everything, but now we're streaming. I never even thought of this 3 years ago where we'd be right now, all right? You take your lumps, your bumps, your beatings, your bruises, you give it back 100-fold, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody knows my feeling on that. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be with FBC multi-million-dollar company. I don't say that to impress anyone, but I'm pretty damn proud of that. The money to me, it's going to be a measure of some things with me, too. Is it the most important thing of what the corporation was set up for? Absolutely not. But let me just get, and I'll give this right back to you, David. Let me just give everybody a thought in case you don't think this way. It's a hell of a lot easier to have money than not. And if I want to expand the business, I have to have money. If I want to grow packages, if I want to travel and compete, if I want to go and speak, if we're not getting paid, it costs a lot of money to get on an airplane, then stay for 5 days, okay? And David's going away, and he can attest to all that, all right? But what I'm saying right now, money is not your villain. The villain is you. If you want to be wealthy, you have to be wealthy of mind, body, and spirit. Go ahead, man.
Money is a representation of an idea, and it's a form of energy.
Yep.
We could look at it the same way as if we look at, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but the whole notion of firearms, right?
Yep.
And you have, periodically, we have bad people who do bad things with a weapon, and innocent people suffer. And then periodically we have good people who do good things with the weapon, and innocent people are benefit from that.
Yep.
And but if you take the firearm and you just lay it on a shelf and no one ever touches it, it doesn't do anything on its own. It's a tool, you know. And then by that same token, we had that guy in France that plowed a bus through a crowd, and so there's no call for banning buses because the inherent value in the bus is more apparent to more people more readily. That's about as diplomatically as I can put that. But the thing about, and by the way, I am pro-gun. So am I. But I am also anti-hurt other people.
So am I.
To get it out of your head that money is bad somehow, or if you're a bad person, if you have money, a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, it's just energy. What it is a means for people to express themselves. Now, like you were talking about values earlier, right? You can tell me all day long what your true values are, but if you let me look at your calendar and your checkbook statement, I can tell you where your values really are, because you will appropriate funds and you will appropriate time toward whatever you truly, truly value. So if you say that your family is the most important thing, but you're blowing money on the crap tables in Vegas, that's an extreme example. But then you're telling me what your real values are by how you're spending your time and how you're spending your money. The other thing about it is, if we can accept that money is in fact neutral and it's just another tool to be used in a particular way, then we can realize that the more money we amass, the more freedom we have, right?
Without a doubt.
It's amazing how much free time you have when you don't spend as much time being concerned about where money's coming from, because you have this feeling of security, right?
Yep.
A book, I think it was in The Science of Getting Rich, Wallace Waddle said something to the effect of, we all have these desires for more. We want more food. Yeah. We want better clothes. We want a better life for ourselves. And those sorts of desires, obviously, money plays a big part in that, because money's the currency that we use to turn those thoughts into actual physical things. And so if we have this inherent desire inside of us, and if we look around all of nature, everything that's alive in nature has that same sort of thing. All little animals are making little baby animals. All the flowers are blooming. All of the grass is growing. And, you know, if we think about grass is... it seems like a weak little thing that we just, you know, push over with a mower and all that kind of stuff. But under the right circumstances, a blade of grass can push through concrete.
Yep.
Such is the desire for life that we have this, all living things want to expand and live more life like that. So if you're, on one hand, have this desire for a better life, but then on the other hand, you have this mental programming that says, no, money's bad. If I get a lot of money, I'll be a bad person. Then you set up a conflict inside yourself. You're constantly warring with your own mind.
Yep.
And that creates confusion and all that. But to the truth is that a person can't live as fully as possible if they're constantly worried about not having enough.
Right. And you know, the big thing is, more than anything, it's like you've been misled. So many people have been misled all over. And you see people that are very unhappy. They don't know what to do. They're lashing out. They're just trying to figure out day to day. Who wants to live like that? That's not a wealthy life. A wealthy life is just what you said. Money earned, obviously, legally, can buy you freedom like you've never seen.
Sure.
Do you know, I was telling David before, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to go here, I want to do this with some of the people that are on the show with the speaking, I want to put out some other things, I want better equipment, I want to go live. Do you think that's just going to happen? It's going to be a metamorphosis? Yeah, it is going to be, but you're going to have the full you in the whole direction of where you want to go. Plus, you're going to have to earn money.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a nice, wealthy way to spread your collateral all over the place. Because I got news for you. When you have wealth of mind, body, spirit, and obviously in a financial means, what can't you do? What are your limiting factors? Let's forget about all the limits that are placed on us all the time. What is it you can't do? Nothing.
Absolutely.
Nothing. And when you do things like that, you influence people. Why do you think we're always saying on this show, become an entrepreneur? Well, I don't know how to. Keep listening to the show. You're going to know how.
Yes, you will.
Well, I'm afraid. Take a chance. Step off the cliff. You know, dangle from a limb. Try it. You might find out that you got more reserve in you than you ever thought. You might even find that your spine warms up and you're ready to take the bull by the horns, as my pop would say.
Mm-hmm.
Look it. This is the way it is. We want, on all these shows, to push you. We want to see you go after your better self. We want to see you make yourself better for others around you. As my dad will say, I've been quoting him all day today, must be he's thinking about me. Be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader. I mean, it's not real hard, man. It's not hard. That's what we talk about, wealth, all these great things out that are all around us in the atmosphere. All these things, even though you don't know it, you're summoning right into your life. There's no lies about that. When the guys got together, you know, when you got the Proctors and the Les Browns out there, all over the place, Dennis Waitley, I'm sorry, old-time guy, I was listening to him. Go out and listen to people like that. You're going to find the courage to do it, but it's going to be something that you're going to have to put into your head. Ring it out 1,000 times, put it back through your head, ring it out 1,000 times. You have to get rid of all those old habits, and it takes a lot of time to keep overrunning them. But once you do and you start thinking the way you should be, as they say, the world's your oyster. David, summarize or finish, you know, whatever you want to add, and we'll be done with 5 for 15 today, please.
All right, two quick thoughts. The first one goes along with what you just said. And what you just said is the counter to the situation I was describing earlier. If you look at your external circumstances and then decide that's the way things are and you make decisions based on that, you will continue to make decisions that are in line with your external circumstances, which sounds a lot like spinning your wheels to me. If you flip, yep. If you flip that and come at it from the other side and think creatively, like, okay, like you said, 3 years ago, this show was an idea that you had. And now, based on all the stuff that you were telling me before we got on the air, you're at a tipping point, a critical mass of some really cool stuff that's about to happen. All of that started as an idea, and it started with you stepping out and taking a chance and betting on yourself, which takes me to the second point, which you mentioned fear earlier. Very often, the idea will come up and we will squash it down and start thinking of all the reasons that we can't or shouldn't or won't do it before we even fully form the idea in our heads. And that's rooted in fear. And I had a thought the other day that when we're born, and I may be wrong about this, but when we're born, when we're little babies, as far as I know, there are only two things that we're afraid of: fear of falling or being dropped, and fear of loud noises.
That's correct.
Everything else that we're afraid of as adults is a learned behavior. I'm going to say that again because it's that important.
It is. Go ahead.
Everything else that we're afraid of besides falling and loud noises, which we were born with as a child, is a learned behavior. And so that makes us a lot like my dog. I have a dog that is absolutely terrified of the vacuum cleaner. You turn a vacuum cleaner on, he freaks out, he runs, he hides in the closet, he doesn't want any part of it because this evil, loud, noisy thing is going to eat him or whatever. I mean, he's almost as bad about that as he is when a thunderstorm comes. Now, a thunderstorm has some inherent danger in it. He doesn't know the difference. So we look at him, we think it's ridiculous that he's afraid of the vacuum cleaner because the vacuum cleaner literally can't hurt him in any way. It's just a scary noise, which means that he, because he's a dog, is ignorant of what's actually going on with the vacuum cleaner. So if we look at that from a human perspective, and I want everybody to consider the idea, you don't have to agree with me right now, but just roll this idea around in your mind that all fear is rooted in ignorance, which means that everything that we're afraid of, we are afraid of it for the simple reason that we don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to turn out. Once you know, you're not afraid anymore. There's no more fear.
No, I agree
We can use that like when you tore your bicep. You were probably afraid at first, like, am I ever going to be able to lift again? I don't know what's going to happen. But after you got it patched up, are you afraid of that bicep tear now anymore?
No, not at all. Not at all. And like I said, tonight we're going to start a lot of stuff with, conditioning for Iceland, and that's going to put a big hammer on that bicep tonight. So, you know, the idea here, and I don't want to interrupt. I'll tell you what, we'll get in that another time. Finish off anything you want.
That's pretty much what I had. Is if you get two takeaways from me today, supply is unlimited.
Yep.
And I'll give you one more example of that. If I take a really big breath and blow it back out, do you somehow have less air to breathe because I took more? It just doesn't happen that way. Supply is unlimited, and everything that we could ever need or want is there. We just have to figure out how to get in tune with it. Like right now, there's radio waves spinning all around us, and if we set the dial and tune into it, we'll hear the music. But if we don't, we'll never hear it. So everything's there. We just have to learn how to tune into it, and we have to understand that most, if not all, of the fears that we can come up with on why we don't move on something is a learned behavior, something that we created in our own minds. And if we created it and it's learned, then we can learn something new and create something different that is to our benefit rather than against us.
Without a doubt. And remember, like you said in the beginning, we live an abundant life. You should have a notebook before you go to bed every night. I do it every night. Write down what you're thankful for. Watch your wealth explode. And I will say this, and I'll give it to David. He can give out his any address he wants where he can contact him, email-wise or through Facebook. I'll tell you this right now, and I say this an awful lot. You're all wealthy out there. Believe me. Don't let anybody ever take anything from you. It's time you start thinking about what your wealth and worth is, and you're all worthy of it. And I always say a number of things through the show, especially when we sign off. You know, it's very important, these things, because, as I say, five words can change your life, and I hope we gave you five words today that will change your life and make you the wealthiest of wealthy ever. David, give out, you know, any way the folks can get a hold of you. I'll give mine, and we will sign off from 5 for 15, please.
Website, irontamer.com. Facebook, Iron Tamer Dave Whitley. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Iron Tamer. That's me. If you need anything from me, I'd be honored to receive an email, and hopefully I could do something to help you.
Absolutely. You get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And like I say, if there's anything you ever want David and I to do, you know, you can get a hold of me there. And I just want to say one thing, you know, check us out. We're 24/7 now, streaming, internet radio. Big plans coming. There's going to be more. I hope I have something big for you at the end of this month. We'll find out possibly in the next couple weeks. So for David Whitley, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening not only to Motivation and Muscle, but 5 for 15. This show will be up tomorrow morning, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.